Good morning, friends. Welcome to The Conversation. This is our live call-in show where you get to weigh in on the topic of the week. My name's Graham. Thrilled to be your host this morning. It's time for some mental calisthenics, some cerebral gymnastics. It's been a few weeks. I hope you caught last week's episode of Rural Race Talks, The Soul Experience. If not, you can find it on our website, on our podcast page, coastradio.org. And you also might have heard that we are slowly but surely segueing into an emphasis on KMUN as our name. And so you can use KMUN.org, you can use coastradio.org. You'll end up in the same place either way. Thanks for sticking with us. 503-325-0010 is the number to call and join the conversation. And as is our recent tradition, we'll start the show with an icebreaker. We've had some weather this week. We're kind of just past the darkest days of winter, so we find ourselves in the tunnel, as they say in Scandinavia. And it led me to wonder what your favorite season is. Do you have a favorite time of the year? Is it spring because you're a gardener? Is it fall because you're a teacher and you love your job? Is it the winter because you want all those presents? Summer, vacation. What is it? 503-325-0010. What's your favorite season of the year and why? That's the important part. I would like to know why. Taking a step back and thinking about the show, it's important for me to, I think it's important for me to say today that this show is all about laymanism. And I did the research. I made sure that that's not an offensive word. If you describe something technical, let's see, here's a description. To put something in layman's terms is to describe a complex or technical statement using words and terms that someone not specialized in a specific field can understand. So this is, I think this is a safe word to use, that I celebrate laymanism on this show. We don't bring in specialists to talk about topics. This is all about us in the community and what we think, what we feel, what we know, what we believe, what we care about, what we're concerned about. And so when we bring up difficult topics, I just want you to know that there is no wrong answer. There's no wrong response. I think we've mentioned before that we like to keep the discussion civil and productive and positive for the most part. Just like you would in any conversation, I think. And so jumping off from that point, you know, that's how we enter these conversations that seem like maybe that they're a little bit out of our league, but I just want you to know that that's okay. I don't want you to ever feel like you shouldn't call because you don't know enough about a topic. We're asking questions, we're exploring possibilities. And so again, no right or wrong answers, no good or bad questions. The goal is just good, open communication. So I thought that I would try to find a topic that was outside of the typical news cycle, outside of the realm of the pandemic, outside of the realm of the transition in the executive branch of our government. But I don't think I can. I don't think I can get my head out of that space today. And I'm thinking maybe you can't either. And so maybe we should talk about it. Was the description of the happenings last week? It's been described as sedition. Is that a good word to use? Is that do we agree with that word? And then moving on, what do we do about it? Do we invoke the 25th Amendment? Do we impeach? And what would the long-term effects be of either of those decisions? Is the response that you're seeing in Washington appropriate? Is it what you were hoping for? Is it what you were expecting? What does accountability look like at this point? What does it look like for the people who stormed the Capitol building? What does it look like for legislators who supported that? What does it look like folks in the media, I think accountability is kind of a big deal right now, because I'm just not seeing a lot of it, and I would love to see more. And you can extend that outside of just the executive branch. We had a discussion a few weeks ago about culture that I thought was really positive and productive and enlightening. And I think that all of this pertains, you know, there's so many faces of culture. I looked up definitions again, and boy, it's like, what are the five values of culture? What are the 10 components of culture? What are the 6 main components? You know, nobody can agree on what culture is, how to define it. It's broad, but I think we have a sense of it. And so how does what's happening in our government roll into our values and our culture? And just where does accountability come from at this point? How do we feel about bipartisanism at this point? I think it's been interesting to watch some of the responses from legislators on both sides of the aisle coming out of this. And coming out of the recent election, what do we think about the Electoral College at this point? I know I'm throwing a lot of questions your way, and still no one has even told me what their favorite season is. Time's ticking away, folks. This show's only an hour long, so I want to hear from you. There we go. We got a call. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. My favorite season is spring, because that is when the planet comes back to life after a cold, dark winter.
It's an extraordinary thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you a gardener?
No, not right now. I don't have the options of having a garden, so I have some patio plants. But I like wildlife. I like birds. I like flowers. And so after the winter, I like seeing everything come back to life.
Yeah, you don't have to have a garden to see it all exploding around you everywhere.
No, you don't. I also have a question. If anybody knows what's happened to the Astoria deer, I would like to know, because all of a sudden for the past month, there's hardly any deer around, and I'm very concerned. I saw one with a yellow tag sticking through its ear and it had been attached, and then another one with a number 6 on it. But our deer seem to be, I don't know, disappeared.
Okay. Does anybody know of any efforts to control deer population in Astoria? What's happening to the deer? That's a good question.
Yeah, because they're so relaxing to watch munching.
Yep, and it feels like you're in a scene from a Disney movie before everything goes wrong.
Right. And as far as everything that's gone wrong, I've been listening a lot to what's going on in the Capitol, and I think that we need to get rid of this man. He needs to be impeached because he is dangerous. I know a lot of people that have been very worried about him wanting to become a dictator for a very long time. And when he did his Bible stunt and he had the military out with him, I was afraid at that time he was going to try and start a coup.
Yeah, I know that there's concern, but I don't think you can become a dictator just because you want to be one. Don't you have to have buy-in from, like, a lot of military and other people?
Well, yeah, look at the pictures and look at who was there.
Yeah.
There is a lot of military. Look at the weapons they're carrying. Look at their planned attack at all the capitals through all 50 states. Look at the Congress people that opened the door and showed people how to get in, where things were.
Yeah.
And these people seem to really have something seriously wrong with their brain to be defecating in the Capitol building. What kind of people are these?
Well, somehow that one slipped by me.
Oh, it didn't. It's been on the NPR radio stations for quite a few days now. There's really horrible things. But we have to worry about the idiot, because he does have access to nuclear weapons. And he has been trying to stir up Iran in any way he can. Like, he would love to just push a button. So we need to impeach him to protect the world.
Yeah, I think the outcome of that's desired is that he wouldn't be able to run again, right? And he would lose some of his...
Right, never get to run again.
Post office privileges as well would be stripped away or something.
Yes, and that needs to happen to him. He is a loose cannon, and I think a lot of people have not realized exactly how sick he was. A lot of us did, but there's a lot that followed him blindly.
Well, I appreciate your contributions to the show today. Thank you so much for your call.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. We've got 2 more callers in the queue. You're next. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. My favorite season. It depends on where I'm living at the time of my life. For this area, I like the seasons of fall around, like late September and early October, because we have those extra long sunny type seasons, which rest of the year we don't have.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up in Portland, it was springtime. And when I was growing up in Southern Oregon, it was those wonderful summers where, you know, the temperature was good and you went haying and got everything done by 11. And so it was so hot, and then you went to the river and stuck your feet in there. So that's kind of, so all seasons are for that reason. So.
Something to enjoy about all of them. I realized I didn't answer the question myself. I think I'm a fall person. I think I like the fall.
Yeah, yeah. Around our area, it is. There's extra sunlight. There's not calming storms. Like, there's no wonderful water like we have this morning. So, it's interesting. I'm contemplating how to get out of my house and down on the road at the moment. So,
because of the flooding, or because of the
mostly the flooding. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Seaside Airport is only good for seaplanes today.
So. Right. Wow. Well.
So, and that's never happened. We've always had at least half of the water or things, you know, or at least half the runway.
Uh-huh.
This time, the whole runway is underwater.
Well, shall we get into some heavier topics? Did you have any thoughts about the larger world today?
Well, I had a discussion yesterday. I posted, you know, sometimes you copy and post on Facebook, and I copied and posted about some of the demonstrators destroying the media, the setup for the media. It would be like, Graham, if you... some of the portable news equipment that you would set up, and then people would come down and knock down with flags and you know, use flagpoles against you and hit you in the, and hit you with fire extinguishers. And, you know, that is such a sad part or a commentary on what happened back in Washington. That it's really hard to think about, that we have gotten to this point in our country. Why are we there? And we need to come back the other way. We need to stop talking about being a Republican or a right-wing person or a left-wing person or a Democrat, or and think about becoming Americans again. And members of community, and have that community solve our problems together. It's sad.
I wish at least 51% of Americans thought the way that you did.
There's a goal.
Yeah.
There's a goal. Let's do that. Let's start adding people together. And that was my comment when I was posting the comment with my friend, and he was tired, he was weary because of all the controversy and all that, and I said, so let's get started, let's the two of us start doing that with others and how our relations with others, and see if we can get 51%. I think that's good.
Yep, we got to rise above.
All right, sir. Thank you very much, and thanks for having the program.
Thanks for calling in today. Have a great day.
You bet.
You've been very patient. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Graham. Thanks for the program. I love that you do this every Wednesday.
For sure.
I'm 67 years old, and... for the first time, I'm really worried about this country. to the point where I almost went out and bought a gun yesterday, because what I think is happening is a revolution. And this is, I think, above the... what happened a week ago is reflective of that. And I'm not a historical buff, so I can't quote you Mussolini or Hitler's rise to power. But I am really concerned about this, because when you read through the tea leaves of what's going on beyond the despicable behavior of Trump, yes, he needs to be impeached. You know, I want him to go to jail, including everybody that was complicit in this. But there are Republicans that are afraid to vote for impeachment because fear of their life. And this is goes with the 4 years of complacency they had in following Trump. And when you look at the people that are being arrested for the riots, and when you look at the footage of the insurrection, there is more than just Joe Blow Trump supporters. There is an organized effort to take over this country. And when you look at, we are divided statistically now, 50-50. To me, that's concerning. And the fact that they can organize via social media to have exact hits on the capitals at the very same time tells me this is bigger than whether you support Trump or not. Yes, I think he and his family and Giuliani and Cruz and Graham and Holly, blah, 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 all of them are complicit in this. I don't think to the point of organization of revolution, but they have fueled this revolution. They have given people permission. And where Trump was elected 4 years ago, that population was there. The only thing different is that they found a leader. And so, to me, that is the bigger question of what is next. Because I really, really am afraid. And I think we're safe. It's so easy here in Clatsop County to, you know, because we're just in this lily white center of the world that doesn't have to live within those realms. But believe me, when I went down to Warrenton Main Street and people showed up with guns on their hip, you know, to counter protest what we were protesting with Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, there's a faction of that in Oregon. So there's little cells. I'll call it what it is. They're terrorist cells. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is more concerning at this point. Politics are just blah, 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 as usual. But I think what's being missed is the fact that there is this rumbling in this country that is I'm fearful of. And the other thing is not so much that we will have a war with guns necessarily, although that's not beyond the realm. We have to consider that how much power do they have? Because when you look at the insurgents that hit, these were not just white trash hillbillies. These are people that are former military. They're educated. There's paramedics. The congressmen. These are people that are intelligent. And that's what's being missed, I think, in a lot of the discussion, because everybody's so, you know, hell-bent on getting rid of Trump, and I support that. I want him gone, you know, and I dare say, you know, but his family is around. Julian, anyway, regardless, I get off point on that. I'm just concerned that they are very sophisticated, and what are their next levels of attack? And I think that if they are supported through the Congress because of fear, I'm rambling, so I apologize. But anyway, I just wanted to get my point across. And I guess the second part is I really thought, when people say unity, it's like, what can repair this? Seriously, what can repair this. I think we need to go back to the Civil War and look at the people that tried to repair a fractured nation. And one could say it was never repaired when you see the amount of Confederacy that has existed into 2021, you know, with the Confederate flag, their replication. And so I'm just, I just think we're at a time in America that I don't know what this, I don't know the solution. But the back and forth of the trivia at this point, it's like, yes, we know he's a bad man, but I think that we need to look at the bigger picture. 50% of this nation is for revolution. And what have we done as a nation that they were not supported, that they are vitriol with hatred, that they could kill all of us and not care? So anyway, that's my point.
Well, thank you so much for your call. I appreciated everything you said. No rambling detected on my end.
Okay, thank you.
Good thoughts. Thank you. Our next caller's been patient. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, is that me?
That's you.
My next guy.
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll keep it short, sweet, and positive, you know. First of all, my favorite time of year is in February.
Is that right?
Fisher
Poets,
you know,
Gathering?
I always get one nice week in February, maybe 5 days anyway at a stretch, right? Things
yeah.
are warming up. You get these little daffodil shoots coming up, you know?
So you like that light at the end of the tunnel time of year?
Yeah, you know. But one thing that keeps me positive and keeps me optimistic for the future, take a daffodil, right? Pretty tender, you know, vulnerable. But on the other hand, I think daffodil is one of the toughest things on earth. You get this little flower coming up, and at that point, you can still get freezing weather. You can still get hail, driving rain, winds, and yet that little daffodil standing tall. And I think it's a good way to look at things. You know, I worked down the Gulf of Mexico on a dredge. We used to have to wear a hard hat. A lot of guys got stickers and stuff of where they work, oil rigs, salvage companies, whatever. But I was always going to have somebody paint a little daffodil on the side of my hard hat, but I never did it. I'm sorry I didn't.
That would have been great.
But anyway, so that's all I got. We got a good morning going here.
I think we got a couple nice days ahead of us.
Ain't a bad time to, you know, switch gears and just appreciate what we got. And I think things are going to get better. That's all I got.
All right. Each one of us a daffodil. Thanks for the call.
All right, man.
If you're just joining us, this is The Conversation on KMUN. That was a really nice call. I appreciated that very much. The number to call, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 503-325-0010. Getting close to the midway point of the show. The icebreaker today, if you missed it, was what's your favorite season of the year and why? So far, we've heard spring. I guess February's winter. And we've heard fall. So how about a vote for summer? Are there any votes for summer out there? 503-325-0010. I can assure you that when I was a school kid, summer would have been my response. So there's, in reflecting on what's been happening and people's responses to it, I have sensed just sort of a blanket of despair on the country and even the world. There's a lot of reasons for it. They keep stacking up, and we have to be like daffodils, even in the driving rain or the hail. We got to stand strong and work towards a better future. And so we've heard much of what's wrong with what's happening right now, but what about moving forward? I am curious if there were some sort of distilled document on what would change things for the better. You know, what's a 3-point bullet point list with 3 items or 5 items or 10 items that would make the country a better place? A couple possibilities could be things like, you know, I've just heard so much about getting the money out of politics, getting, you know, campaign finance reform. I think that could help. I've heard people talk about term limits. Career politicians end up being more like dukes and duchesses rather than public servants. A lot of people talk about the Electoral College. And then, in light of what happened last week, just a better understanding of what constitutes domestic terrorism. I think that no matter what you believe, there's a productive way to work towards a solution. So what would be on your list of things that would make this country better? And maybe even in what order? I think getting the money out of politics would solve a lot of problems. From the New York Times, said over the weekend, several large companies like Marriott, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and Commerce Bank Shares announced a suspension of donations to members of Congress who voted against election certification. That list expanded to Amazon, AT&T, Comcast, Airbnb, MasterCard, Verizon, and Dow Chemical Corporation. Hallmark has asked for its money back from a couple of senators. And that's a very short list of the gigantic corporations that are giving enormous amounts of money to politicians and campaigns. And that just really makes me scratch my head, because that's not a list that we look at very often. But I think the whole corporate personhood deal seems to be an issue. Maybe we want to look at that one again. I'm going to take a quick music break and hope that the phone rings and that you want to join the conversation, that you want to tell me what your favorite time of year is, favorite season, and why. And reflecting on the insurrection, a possible invocation of 25th Amendment and impeachment, what are your thoughts? Where are you at? Where are you living with this? How are you living with this? And then ultimately, how do we lift this blanket of despair? Here's some music. Give me a call. Back to the conversation on KMUN. If you're just joining us, we're talking about current events today. The number is 503-325-0010. And if you'd like to participate in our icebreaker, we're asking what your favorite season is and why. We've got a caller. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
We've passed campaign limited donations in Oregon. And we need to keep our eyes on the prize, which is all kinds of sustainable energy that's coming on. And there are so many wonderful things going on in this country besides what has happened in our capital.
Share some of those, please.
There are many solar installations in our country coming on to power us with sustainability. And there are wind power terminals coming up in the ocean in Nova Scotia and in Scotland and in France. And the world is changing now. And I think that's why it's fueling people to be so scared about, oh no, our fossil fuels are going down. What am I going to do? Sorry, but after I saw what was going in our capital, I focused on the positive because I know there are good people in this world and they're doing good things. And one of the things that happened is in the Dalles, Columbia River Papers had an email that said that the Millennial Coal Terminal has been done. Coal is going down. And so, anyway.
Sorry, say that again. The Millennial Coal Terminal is being decommissioned or
bankrupt.
What? Bankrupt. Bankrupt, wow.
And so we will not have that near Longview. Because the states of Wyoming and other places that mine coal don't have markets because the tide is churning. Boardman is being turned into a batter. Boardman, Oregon, you know where that is?
I do.
Yeah. That coal terminal is being turned into a battery storage area for wind power terminals in the Dalles and other places. So that if anything happens, we will have massive battery storage, which is created by ABB. It's a Swiss company that makes really good, big battery storage. And it will be there to make sure the power is on when things go down in the grid.
So the wind terminals are charging these ginormous batteries, and they can keep a local power grid on?
Yes. But this is happening right now. So it's going to be in the future, like in the next year.
Uh-huh.
So people in this area have no fear that their power will go down because we are going to have this huge battery storage in Boardman that will make sure that things are going on. And so, anyway, that's my input. Despite what's going on, I think that people are getting panicky because systems are changing. This is just like when we got the internet and publishing and movies and all kinds of things went cattywampus because we had internet connections that we could stream and we could publish and all that kind of thing and order goods. So we are now in clean disruption phase.
Say that again.
Clean disruption phase.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book that was written by, I think, Tony Burke. It was called Clean Disruption. And it really outlines well what's going to be happening in the next 5 to 10 years.
And is clean referring to clean energy, or what is that referring to?
Clean disruption. It has to do with clean and sustainable energy, electric cars, various systems that give us better living conditions.
Well, I appreciate you focusing on the positive this morning. That's what we needed.
Okay. Well, thank you for your show, Graham.
Have a great rest of your day. Thanks to everyone who's called in today. Lots of time left to hear your thoughts on the goings-on. Is there anything that you would say, you know, if I could change one thing, this would be it? I like this exercise, the old magic wand trick. If you could do one thing with your magic wand, what would it be? Electoral college, term limits, campaign finance. 503-325-0010 is the number to call. I'm interested in how this is impacting you psychologically. I think that we're all being sort of pushed to our limits right now, and it's really, you know, I see it taking its toll on everyone, myself included. And so what are your techniques for staying, I don't know if optimistic's the right word, but keeping a stable mental outlook. You know, how much do you deep dive into the news? How much are you focused on your own corner of the world? Keeping things tidy there, is that escapism? How much are we supposed to be engaging with this right now, other than with our votes, which we just had the opportunity to do? So, nobody can vote themselves in as dictator. 503-325-0010. The phones are quiet, but I know that your minds are not. When we get to this part of the show, I always let people know that it's okay to digress from the topic of the day, too. If there's something on your mind, go ahead, share it.
Hi, Graham.
A couple calls coming in. Oh, it's Greg. Good morning.
Down in Tillamook.
How are you today, sir?
Doing well. I think that summer is the best time that warms the heart and the body both.
There we go. We've got to vote for summer.
Okay. One or two things to do to change the whole political atmosphere. Time limits. Line item veto.
I understand term limits, but what about line item veto? What are you referring to there?
Any bill that comes up in Congress can contain only one item of business. No more of this getting people across the aisle or whatever. You vote for mine and I vote for yours. Do away with that.
I see. So they've got these bills that are packages of multiple things that...
Yeah, good and bad, all packaged together.
Well, that's very insightful. I've learned something today.
Those are the two greatest things that I can think of would change everything. Term limits would take these groups of people that have joined together in fostering all this craziness that's going on. I came across a quote the other day, and I'll close with this. This is paraphrased a little bit from what the original statement said, but we must teach all people not to be taken in by any man or woman who speak about all things with an air of finality. Do not follow those who claim to be authorities. So with that thought, I'll let you get back to those that have more interesting things to talk about.
Well, I sure appreciate your call today, Greg.
Love KMUN and KTCB, and you're doing a great job.
How's the reception down there?
A little bit off. I'll talk to you at a later date, yeah, but I think it's mostly the home end of it. You're coming through clear, but some of the others, we have a little bit of popping and staticky sounds.
Okay. Well, take
Generally
care, Greg.
Good. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Greg is our ears in Tillamook. He always keeps me up to date with how KTCB is sounding. I appreciate Greg's help with that. And we've got another caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. My favorite time is summer. Good blackberries and then apples. And my wish for the country is that we can shift from rugged individualism to mutual caring and collaboration, and that we can reach across the divide to the Trump supporters that are, I think, probably sad and mourning and shocked, and find common ground and learn to work together positively.
That sounds great. What I'm curious, your thoughts on shifting from rugged individualism to mutual caring and collaboration. Can I prod you on to give me an example of both? I mean, I think I understand rugged individualism, but how do you see mutual caring and collaboration manifesting in a beneficial way?
Well, I see our country really pushing winning the competition, all this competition stuff. You have to be number one. And, I mean, I have been my whole life in the country and being rugged and up to the physical task and stuff I've been proud of. And I know that actually a lot of country folk, including the Trump contingent, have that feeling. I think they've been feeling left out, but they have that sense of rugged individualism, which I can appreciate. But we really need to work together and be collaborative, and I don't think that it is emphasized enough to really care for each other. In crises we do, in floods and hurricanes, it's been wonderful, but just day to day, I just see it in the people not wanting to wear masks. I can't conceive of not wanting to do that, which would help somebody else, just so for the freedom of not to wear a mask. Things like that. I'm just that.
All right.
I might have to go get ready for a meeting, but thank you for your show.
I appreciate your contribution today. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
And right on cue, our next caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi there. I would like to say that the most important thing is get campaign finance reform. The amount of money, the PACs, ending Citizens United, and making the election season so much shorter, because so many people don't vote because they're so sick of seeing everybody and hearing the negative ads. In Britain, Australia, New Zealand, you know, it's about a 6-week period. If you can't make up your mind in 6 weeks, God help you.
Yeah, campaign finance reform is a big one, and those PACs, boy.
Oh, they're evil. They're evil. And you can, you know, you can set up shell companies to donate to the PACs, so you don't even know who's donating.
Right.
That is the main thing to reform. You know, term limits, I'm not a believer in term limits because I like experts. If we can stop the big money from pouring in, the people who are true, true good politicians, I like experts, people who know the law.
I think that's a really good point. There's a sort of an order of operations thing here where if you didn't have campaign finance, you wouldn't need term limits. But if you impose term limits, you wouldn't necessarily solve problems other than
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, if you hire a contractor to build your dream house, you want someone with a lot of experience.
Yeah. So
also poli sci needs to be required in our high schools.
Right. Yeah, so a political science education, and then how do you, you know, it's like if you were applying for a job, you would have to demonstrate expertise.
Of course.
And so how do we do that in government?
Does
that exist?
Well, I mean, for one thing, if you get the campaign finances under control and every candidate only has a certain tiny bit of money to spend, then you would spend more time dealing with the issues and not the huge negative ads, et cetera.
That's a good point. All the time and money.
You would be more qualified.
All that time and money spent on campaigns could be spent becoming a better politician. Yeah.
Right?
It's insane the amount of money that gets spent on campaigns for the losing candidates as well. Like that's
it's sickening.
You know, when you walk away from it, that money kind of went nowhere.
It went nowhere.
It's a little bit staggering.
And also in Australia and New Zealand, every citizen has to vote. If you don't vote, you're fined $1,000.
Wow.
And the thing is, for democracy to work, we have to vote.
Right.
And the Electoral College has to go away.
And you have to be an informed
voter. One person, one vote. The Electoral College was set up for the slave states to have a vote, to have a say.
Yeah. Well, if you've, you mentioned shell companies. I just saw a movie called The Laundromat, which kind of explains what those are, if you're curious.
Okay.
Kind of a good movie.
All right.
Yeah, interesting.
I will definitely check it out, and the fall is my favorite season.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your call today.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Bye. Okay. We're in the last quarter of the show. 14 minutes to go. 3 open phone lines. We've got votes for all seasons. Another vote came in from KMUN staffer Susan, who is a known birder. And she says winter is her favorite season because there's no leaves on the plants or trees, and it makes it easier to see the birds. Isn't that the truth? And we've got our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning, Graham. I kind of got in on the latter part of this conversation, so I'm not sure what you said the topic was. But I surmise that we're talking about current state of affairs and what we can do about it.
Yeah, we're just shoveling our way through several feet of mental muck.
I think election reform is critical. I think, you know, I don't know how 75 million people feel that the election was stolen. I don't know how that's possible. And the other 80 million see that elections have been suppressed and voters have been suppressed. There is no voter fraud. If you look at anywhere in the country, the percentages of voter fraud is like 0.00001. So one guy took one ballot and filled it out for his dead mom. But there is virtually no voter fraud, and yet Republicans continue to drive home it's the election is stolen. The election. Who would steal a ballot? Who would risk thousands of dollars? I don't know what the fine is, like a couple of thousand dollars and 10 years in jail or something for voting, being caught voting outside of the of your ballot, your own ballot. Who would do that? I mean, it's hard enough to get people to the polls. It's hard enough to get people to cast their ballots. So, but on the other hand, ballot boxes were in Texas were 1 per million or something in San Antonio. I can't remember what county it was, but they took away all the ballot, the drop boxes. They wiped out 198,000 names off the voter rolls in Georgia. It's endless. They are reducing the number of days. And there was a I can't remember if it must have been Georgia, but if you were found to aid or abet a voter who was standing in line, if you gave them water, you could be imprisoned. I mean, there is just that kind of crazy shenanigans. We need to just have some one set of rules and a set of rules on how we can interpret the results so people can't be subject to the election is rigged. I mean, Trump started by saying the election was rigged in July. He said, if I don't win, it's rigged. So why is it surprising to anybody, and why are they standing on the floor of Congress saying the election was rigged? How can I don't understand. After 60 court cases, why aren't people listening? I watched we've been watching a series. It's on YouTube. It's called The Century of Self. And it's about how advertising was born. Advertising came out of, originally people bought things out of need. I need a pair of socks. Edward Bernays was a cousin, I think, or a what? He was a cousin of Freud's. And Bernays and Freud were back and forth about how to change the minds of people. Freud had this very, you know, he had his belief about the id, the power of the id. And Bernays, this was in the 1920s, the question is, how do we change the minds of the bewildered masses? And Freud was saying you have to appeal to the id. You appeal to the id, like, I feel I need a daddy figure, or I feel I'm afraid, or someone's going to take my... You appeal to those base emotions, base feelings, fear, loneliness, inadequacy. You appeal to those, and then you add a little political... You frame it into a political message. So in the 1920s, they wanted to change the image of women not being able to smoke. Men had looked down on it. And so Bernays had women marching in a parade. I don't remember what the parade was for, but marching in a parade, and all of a sudden they took out their cigarettes and lit up at the same time, and they called it Torches of Freedom. Torches of Freedom. And Freud had said, well, for women, it's a cigarette is like, for men, it's like having an extra penis, is having this cigarette in their hand. So here they wanted women to have that option. So this was Torches of Freedom, but it was appealing to their little id emotion. So somehow we have bought into these messages that I need a daddy figure, or I'm afraid, or someone's going to take my job, or someone's going to take my vote, and we allowed ourselves to be convinced that this election was stolen. And here we have a mob in Capitol steps. So it is a whole bunch of baloney, and how do we fix it? We have to hold people accountable, and you can't blame the bewildered masses for being told over and over and over and over and over again that it was rigged. You have to blame the people who are leading them. So we have to have some accountability, and it starts at the top, and it also goes through Congress. So I believe firmly that this impeachment process is important. We must hold them accountable. And we've got to rout out some of the Republican leadership who just refuse to acknowledge that they have a constitutional duty of recognizing a free and fair election and acknowledging it for their constituents. It's just not right. Someone has to speak truth. And we have to hold our leaders to that standard. So that was a whole mouthful of stuff there, Graham. I'm exhausted. We are exhausted. This nation is exhausted. We have had a drama queen at the helm. He stole the headlines from us. He stole the headlines on Tuesday from us for winning Georgia. It was amazing that we won Georgia. He stole those headlines. He stole the headlines the following day that Joe Biden had officially become the president-elect. So he's a headline stealer, and we've allowed this to happen somehow. And I think we also have to blame the media. I don't know how we curtail the media, but somebody, and I'm so glad that the technology companies have stood up and said, social media, hey, we're private companies, we can do what we want.
Yeah, that was a good move, I think.
So, But how do we, you know, I mean, we have Fox News and how many other organizations are promoting this false narrative? How, you know, we have a First Amendment right, but it's not the First Amendment right to say that it's true. You know, we have no standard of truth.
I think there are, you know, journalists, there's journalistic integrity, theoretically.
But who listens to them? You know, if someone is, if your media of choice is Fox News, how do you know where the journal, I mean, are any of those folks calling them journalists, calling themselves journalists? And do they, I mean, I'm sure they call themselves full of integrity. I guess. I hope. I think.
Yeah. So, Gwen, I loved everything you had to say. We got a couple more calls that just came in.
Yay,
so I'm going to let you go, but say hi to Robert for me.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Carol, is that you?
Yeah. Yeah. First, I'm going to be here now and love whatever season I'm in. Unless it floods us out or snows us out. But that's not the season. That has to do with climate chaos. And I love the daffodil. That was terrific. And my favorite song right now is Georgia on My Mind.
Nice.
And my suggestion, along with many of the things that have been said today, lots of good stuff, is teaching critical thinking so that we don't have to blame this and that, so that people learn to pay attention and think and talk to others and not be as swayed as the advertising industry and the political industry would like us to be.
True individualism is in being part of the whole.
Good.
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up, Carol.
And compassion and cooperative. I like Susanna's. I think community is the word of the day. And thank goodness we do have good community here. Although I agree, often it comes out only in crisis times. So I would like to see that become an opportunity for us to communicate and work together across lines, as we have in many issues here, including LNG. So I think there's hope and a lot of work to be done.
All right. Thanks, Carol. We've got one more caller to get to.
Okay. Have a good one.
See you later. Paul, you want to round us out for the day? You got 1 minute.
Okay. I'll be short. The primer was, what's your favorite season? Well, today was not mine because I ran around the yard picking up shingles.
Right.
You had horrific winds up here in Ocean Shores, Washington. The breakers have been crashing against the jetty, like, topping three-story buildings. It's just been incredible.
Yeah.
So this is not my favorite time of year.
Understood.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, and unfortunately because I was outside picking up shingles, I didn't get to listen to all your commenters. I think the commenters that call in with their points of view are fantastic. And you learn, I learn something every time I listen to the show, which I do religiously. Well, maybe not that. compulsively. There you go.
Okay.
And as far as what's going on in Washington, it's just a disgrace. I have one thing I would like to say about the reaction of the Congress is they were so personally concerned. But, you know, we've gone for months and months and months without getting vaccine, without getting relief for families who cannot any longer feed their children, pay their rent or their mortgage. And they were so focused on them, their personal selves, I kind of disgusted me.
Hey, Paul, we really got to wrap up.
Okay. Well, thank you, Graham. Love the show. You take care.
Thanks, Paul. KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook.